Welcome to Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, teaching you how to manage your mind so that you can create relationships you love. And now, here's your host, certified relationship coach and expert in all things love, friendship, and mind drama, Rebecca Orr.
Hi guys, how's everyone doing? I am so excited because doors to the next round of Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, my 12-week group coaching program, are officially open for you to come and enroll. And there are some wonderful people already signed up and ready to change their lives and relationships with this work. So I am just so happy. You have until next Saturday to grab your spot, but usually doors do close early due to spaces being full because there are limited spots available. So if you are really keen to get a spot, I wouldn't recommend you leaving it to the last minute, but I will come back and talk more about the program at the end. So if you know you're interested, stick around to the end of this episode and I will answer many of your questions then. But for now, I'm going to dive into today's topic, which is, it is not your job to stop them cheating on you. Controversial topic, I know. So let's dive straight in. Right now in your relationships, do you find yourself worrying about what they may or may not do on a night out? Or maybe getting paranoid and anxious about who their new co-worker is and whether they're attractive? Or ruminating about what if they cheat with that old family friend of theirs? Constantly being triggered and worrying about situations that could lead to them potentially cheating on you or leaving you. When we're doing this, it's like our brains are in threat detection mode. They think the threat is the action that our partners might take, and the goal is to prevent that happening at all costs. We must prevent this new co-worker or these strangers on a night out from ruining our relationship. We must make sure that nothing bad ever happens. So then we start acting and feeling really crazy. And we start interrogating our partners and we start wanting to look through their phones and we want to stalk their new co-worker on Instagram. We struggle to be present and relaxed and actually enjoy the relationship because we're just constantly on red alert for something that could happen. We constantly believe that we need to identify threats, and our brain goes into 007 mode, trying to neutralize the threat, trying desperately to fix it so that we can feel safe again. But in reality, all we're actually doing is creating more drama, more anxiety, more suffering, and showing up in a way that we're really not proud of. For example, if your partner has a night out this Saturday night and your brain thinks it's its job to make sure that they do not under any circumstance flirt with another person or cheat on you, you're going to start acting a little strangely. Maybe you're going to be analysing everything they do and say, looking for signs that they might be up to no good. Maybe you're going to remind them to behave themselves. I had one client who said that every time her partner went on a night out, she would say to him, "I'll find out if you've cheated, you know. People always find out." Not exactly the loving send-off that she would have preferred to give him. Maybe you're so afraid of them cheating and convinced it's going to be the reality that you treat them like they're guilty before they've even left the house. Making passive-aggressive comments, being cold and distant. Starting an argument just before they leave in the hopes that they'll decide to stay in and comfort you. Whatever your specific example is, whether the perceived threat is a coworker, a friend, an ex, an acquaintance, a night out, a holiday without you, whatever it is, I want you to notice one very important thing. You stressing and worrying about something bad happening has zero impact on whether it happens or not. I'm going to repeat that because it's really, really important. You stressing and worrying about something bad happening has zero impact on whether it happens or not. You interrogating them, checking through their phone, acting off with them, asking for more reassurance, none of it actually controls or determines or dictates the actions that they may or may not choose to take. Some of my clients will say to me, "Well, checking their phone is useful because it means I'll know whether something bad has happened or not." But that's not actually true. People can delete things off their phone, you know. People can cheat and leave no paper trail at all. Checking their phone doesn't provide 100% certainty. It just gives you the illusion of it. And you stressing and worrying about whether they might cheat on you or not, as well as having zero impact on the outcome, it also has you showing up in a way that you really don't like. You're likely showing up as insecure, controlling and needy, and far from the confident, loving partner that you would really love to be. And it's important that we also recognise that this does feel very productive. And you're not alone with that. When you begin doing this work and you start teaching your brain to stop behaving in this way, it's going to feel very uncomfortable and almost dangerous. Like you're walking a tightrope and I've just removed the net. Your brain has been believing this behavior has been useful and productive and that it's been keeping you safe for so, so long now. So it makes sense that the idea of letting go of it feels wrong and feels really scary. So just notice that and let that be the case. Let it be a little bit scary. And the next thing I'm going to say is really important. So listen up and let this become etched into your brain. It's not your job to stop them cheating on you. It's not your job to predict it. It's not your job to prevent it. It's not your job to choose a partner that you know for sure that they won't ever do it. And it's not your job to see it coming. And when you make any of those things your job, you will feel very anxious and insecure in all of your relationships, and you will likely be driving yourself insane. So what is your job? Your job is to respond to the facts of a situation as and when it's revealed to you, and not a moment sooner. Your job is simply that, to respond to the circumstances as they appear, as they pop up. And my clients have a problem with this job description for two main reasons. One, they think if they don't see it coming, and by it I mean their partner cheating, they think if they don't see that coming, they have to feel embarrassed and ashamed of themselves. And two, they desperately want to protect themselves from the pain of being cheated on. So let's talk about both. Number one, believing that if you don't see it coming or perhaps don't find out you've been cheated on until a while later, that means you have to feel embarrassed and ashamed. That is not true, because embarrassed and ashamed are both emotions, which means they're created by, you guessed it, your thoughts. So take a moment now to consider, what would you make it mean if they cheated on you and you didn't instantly find out? What would your thoughts be? For a lot of my clients, it's things like, I'm an idiot, I've been naive, I've been foolish, I chose wrong. All of these mean self-critical thoughts. So no wonder their brains want to be on red alert. It thinks that the alternative is calling themselves an idiot and feeling shame and embarrassment. But what if you didn't have to think about yourself that way? What if, regardless of what your partner chose to do, or when you happened to find out about it, what if you never believed that you were an idiot, naive, or foolish, and still thought highly of yourself? Because that is an option. I'm not sure if you're aware, but it is. The craze on red flags at the moment has us almost believing that spotting red flags should be our full-time job, and it just creates so much anxiety. And of course, we don't want to bury our heads in the sand and ignore blatant facts of our partner's behaviour. That's not what I'm saying at all. But trying to predict what their behaviour might be in the future is such a tall order and an unfair ask of us to make of ourselves. We are not psychic and we're not supposed to be. You're not supposed to be able to know or predict what your partner may or may not do in the future because they're an unpredictable human. So consider that for a moment. If you did find out something had happened way down the line, how else could you choose to show up for yourself in that moment? What else could you choose to think about yourself? And now on to objection number two, desperately wanting to protect yourself from the pain of being cheated on. And this really is the crux of all of this, of why our brains are doing what they're doing and creating the anxiety in the first place. Because our brains are wired to protect us from pain. They're always trying to predict ways that we might have to experience negative emotion and then trying to prevent it from happening. But the problem with this is it creates so much unnecessary suffering ahead of time. We're so afraid of feeling heartbroken or sad or grief tomorrow that we feel so much anxiety today. We're just doubling up on the negative emotion. But what if you didn't need to protect yourself from pain? Now, hear me out, because a lot of you will be like, Rebecca, you have lost me. This is really important. What you're afraid of is a circumstance happening, them cheating, lying, breaking up with you, whatever it is, and then you feeling a negative emotion. That's what we're always afraid of, the emotion we imagine we'll have if that thing happens. So really imagine what that pain might be. Is it sadness, grief, heartbreak, shame, embarrassment, disappointment? Whatever it is, what might it feel like? maybe you've experienced it before and can remember. Now, hear me out. Whatever the emotion is, it's actually just a sensation in your body. That's it. The bad thing might happen, you'd find out, you'd have a bunch of thoughts about it, and then you'd feel the sensation and vibration of those emotions in your body. Just sensations, that's all it is. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting that they feel good. Grief, sadness, heartbreak, they're not comfortable emotions. They don't feel like a spa day. They're uncomfortable, but they are just sensations. Maybe it's a pit in your stomach, a heaviness in your chest, a tightness in your throat, maybe an aching in your heart. Sensations in your body. That's what your brain is trying so desperately to protect you from. But there is no sensation in your body that you can't handle. And I'm going to say that again because it's so, so important. There is no emotional sensation in your body that you cannot handle. You can handle experiencing grief. You can handle experiencing sadness and shame and disappointment. You can handle all of it. And the resistance to ever feeling it is actually what makes it 10 times worse. And this is something that we really dive deep into in Master Your Relationship Mind Drama. We work on changing your relationship to your emotions. Because if when grief or sadness come up in your body and your response is to push them away or panic or just want to get rid of them, you're actually going to be intensifying the sensations, making them even bigger and last longer. What you resist persists. Which means even when you think back to times of grief or loss that you've had in the past and think about how terrible it felt, you're likely remembering what it felt like to resist the hell out of that emotion, not actually allow it and process it. And this is a skill I teach you in the group coaching program. And I swear to you, it changed my entire life, my relationship to my emotions. It's probably the most life-changing skill that I ever learned. I didn't realize just how much I was making my negative emotions 10 times worse and more painful and unbearable by resisting them being there. Now that I know how to process them, they can show up and I make space for them. They dissipate and it isn't such a big deal. And again, it's really important to consider how much negative emotion you're feeling right now because you're so afraid and resistant to potentially having those sensations and feeling those negative emotions in the future. It's crazy when you think about it. And for those listening that aren't planning on joining the group coaching program and working on this on a deep level, what I would suggest would be really useful for you is practicing some thoughts around being willing to experience pain in the future. Thoughts like, it's possible I can handle grief and sadness in the future if I ever need to. Or I'm open to believing I could handle the pain of a breakup and be okay. I'm willing to go through the pain of being cheated on and can trust myself to handle it. Again, play around with different wordings and find something that clicks for your brain and feels good to you. Remember, what sounds good and believable to my brain might not feel that way to yours. So this work is all about finding thoughts that do feel good and believable and create that emotional shift for you. Now, for 99% of my clients and people listening to this, the reason they're so afraid of being cheated on and the source of a lot of the pain, if they were to be cheated on, comes from what I call dirty pain. So clean pain is the emotional pain you'd want to feel about a circumstance. So you wouldn't want to be happy if someone cheated on you. You'd want to feel sad and disappointed and potentially grieve the relationship if you decided that you were going to break up. That makes sense, and you want to be able to allow and process these emotions just like we were talking about and trust yourself to handle them. But dirty pain, on the other hand, is the additional suffering we heap onto ourselves. Emotions created by thoughts that we would not want to choose intentionally and that make situations so much more painful. So here's some types of dirty pain that you might be familiar with. One is where you'd make the situation mean something about you. For example, the fact that they cheated means I'm not good enough or lovable enough, or it means I'm a failure or I'm not attractive enough. It means there's something wrong with me. It's basically anything where you're making the fact that they cheated on you mean something bad about you. That is one of the types of dirty pain. Another type of dirty pain is where you make the situation mean something about your future. For example, the fact they cheated proves how I can never trust anyone else. And I'll never be happy, or I'll never find anyone else like them. The kids' lives will be ruined and they'll never get over the breakup, or I'll be lonely forever. anything where you're making the situation happening mean something terrible for the future. You're kind of projecting this doom and gloom into the future. And as I said before, 9 times out of 10, the reason my clients are so afraid of being cheated on is because of one of these types of dirty pain. They've decided it would mean something awful about them or their future. And so that is the pain that their brain is trying so desperately to protect them from. Their brains are trying to protect them from the experience of their own incredibly painful beliefs. And luckily, those dirty pain thoughts, those beliefs, are totally optional. You don't ever have to make someone cheating on you mean any of those things. They are not facts. Which means if it did happen, you could actually make the experience a hell of a lot less painful for yourself. I want you to imagine this for a moment. Imagine knowing that if your partner did choose to cheat, you wouldn't make it mean anything about you. Imagine believing that while yes, it would be hard and you'd have to experience negative emotion, but that you could totally handle it and you believed you could still go and have an amazing future and still believe that you were lovable and valuable and not make their actions mean anything about you. That is 100% possible. And getting yourself to that place is a much better use of your brain's time than trying to stop or prevent or predict whether they're going to cheat on you. Focusing on what you can control, which is how you would want to choose to think and feel and show up for yourself if it ever did happen, is a much better use of your brain's time than trying to control something outside of your control. And this really is a huge part of what we work on in my group coaching program, Master Your Relationship Mind Drama. We first get to the core belief of why you're so afraid of being cheated on or broken up with or whatever it is. You know, some of my clients have friendship anxiety, so they're afraid of friends falling out of them. Or for some people, it's a fear of people being angry at them or upset with them. So it doesn't have to be being cheated on. It doesn't have to be this specific topic. But whatever it is, we first have to uncover the core belief of why you're so afraid, what you'd make that thing happening mean about you or your future. And then we challenge that belief. We poke holes in it, we pull it to pieces, and we show your brain how it isn't actually a fact. And I help you consider other alternative ways of thinking and feeling about it. And I also teach you techniques for how to rewire your brain to create new default ways of thinking. Because the way your brain thinks right now is just based on repetition. That's how neural pathways are created. That's how brains are wired. The more you think a certain thought, the stronger that pathway becomes. So if right now your default is to jump to fear and anxiety and be on red alert in your relationships, it's no big mystery. It's just your brain's habit. It's the default pathway your brain has been used to treading down. And that's just been created through repetition. Which means we can totally create a new default way of thinking, again, through repetition. And I want to stress that this isn't about pie-in-the-sky affirmations. Repeating, I'm a beautiful goddess to yourself every day in the mirror, won't create a new neural pathway unless you actually believe that you are a beautiful goddess. If I wake up and say to myself every day, I'm an alien from Mars, I'm not going to suddenly believe that in a month's time. No. We have to start by challenging and poking holes in your brain's current belief and disprove it, cast doubt over its validity, and then find a new believable thought to take its place, something you can actually believe right now today. And the technique I use for this that you'll learn in the program is called ladder thoughts, or the thought ladder. It's where we come up with thoughts that are just a few steps up from where you're currently at, but that do feel believable, something your brain can actually get on board with and believe. And the last round of the group program has been absolutely amazing. So many members refer to it as life-changing and have said how much of a difference the tools and concepts have made in their lives and relationships and how much more secure and confident they feel now compared to just 12 weeks ago, which is just so, so beautiful. I honestly just love this work so much and I'm just so excited to share it with more people. And I want you just for a moment to really allow yourself to imagine that this could be a possibility for you. I want you to imagine your partner saying they're going on a night out, or that they have a new coworker, or that they bumped into their ex while they were doing the weekly shop. And instead of being filled with anxiety and dread, instead of acting in ways you don't like, going in a mood, going quiet, being accusatory, or being passive aggressive, instead of starting a big unnecessary argument, imagine instead feeling calm and secure. Imagine letting go of the urge to control them and fully trusting yourself to be okay no matter what happened. Imagine not being scared of what they do or what they choose to do, because you know you will love and accept yourself whatever happens. Imagine being able to show up with confidence and security and be the partner you know you can be and really want to be. That is what I'm going to help you do in Master Your Relationship Mind Drama. And I am so, so excited that doors are officially open. And you can sign up by going to the information section of this episode, or you can head to rebeccaorrcoaching.com/group coaching. All the details and frequently asked questions are there too, so definitely go and check them out. We begin the week of the 6th of May, so that's a week on Monday. And when you sign up, you will have the choice between joining the Monday 12 p.m. BST group or the Tuesday 6 p.m. BST group. So double check what those times are in your own time zone. Literally just Google 12 p.m. BST to Eastern time or Central time or wherever you are in the world. And that will give you what that is in your own time zone. So during those 90-minute group coaching calls, I do half an hour of teaching on a specific topic or a concept, and then we do a full hour of coaching together where two or three people can raise their hands and be coached live on the call. And I make sure that different people are picked every week so everybody gets lots of opportunities to be coached. And as well as those weekly group sessions, you also get three one-on-ones with me across the 12 weeks for 30 minutes each session. And you get access to my Relationship Anxiety 101 program, which is filled with modules and worksheets for you to dive into across the 12 weeks. And you'll also be able to join a community Facebook group where you can come along and get support from me throughout the 12 weeks and cheer on other group members. And I have to say that the benefit of group coaching is really a huge part that surprises people. I've had so many people say that they were concerned about joining a group program because they didn't know if it was really going to help them. They'd never really done anything like that before and they didn't really know what to expect. But they all say that they learn so much from watching other people with thoughts and brains just like them being coached and seeing that other people have the exact same thought patterns that they do. And it's extremely beneficial to them. And I'm in two group coaching programs myself, and I don't even actually attend any of the calls live because they don't go with my schedule. But I just learn so much from seeing other people with brains just like mine getting coached on similar topics. So please don't underestimate what a game changer group coaching really is. So if you resonate with my Instagram post and you love this podcast and you know that this is something you desperately need to work on in your relationships, what are you waiting for? Go and sign up today. Doors to enroll will close next Saturday. And if you have any questions before then, come and find me on Instagram or drop me an email to rebecca@rebeccaorrcoaching.com. And I cannot wait to get started and see you all there. And as always, if you are loving this podcast, could you give it a rating on whatever platform it is that you're listening from? That would mean the absolute world to me and keep me reaching more and more people with this work. I hope you all have a lovely weekend, and I hope to see you all in Master Your Relationship Mind Drama. I'll speak to you all next week. Bye.
If you're loving this podcast, you can also hang out with Rebecca on Instagram and TikTok at Rebecca Orr Coaching. Don't forget to sign up to her email list for exclusive freebies and for more information on her one-to-one and group coaching programs.